One. Blog Talk Radio.
Listen. Think. Learn.
This is Empower the Spirit with Dr. Douglas Kelly.
Hello and welcome to Empower the Spirit. Today is Sunday, September 19th, 2010. My name is Doug Kelly. It's so good to have you with us today. We have a special guest, of course, this morning. Her name is Barbara Hofmeister. She's an internationally renowned speaker, author, and an expert on the topic of human growth. And, of course, we're going to be talking about her bestseller, To Be or Not to Be is Your Choice. Barbara became interested in her own personal growth back in 1978 when a friend gave her the book The Erroneous Zones by Dr. Wayne Dyer. She has since then not stopped studying the topic and considers it her mission to help as many people as possible to rediscover their dreams and to gain the confidence and belief in themselves to actually make them come true. Barbara, welcome to the program.
Hi, Doug. Thanks for having me.
Yes, of course, you're coming to us from Germany, across the pond, as the Brits might say. And let's get into your book a little bit. Let me, since we didn't get a chance to check some sound, is my sound okay with you? Do I sound
okay?
Perfect. Is there an echo?
Yeah, sounds fine.
Very good. So do you. And that's what I was thinking, getting some feedback in the chat room that I've got an echo, so I'll work on that. But Barbara, let's start. You have an interesting story to tell, and let's just start from the beginning. Tell us how your life started out and kind of came into being.
Well, my life started out really nice. I was the first child of my parents, so very exciting. Actually, the first grandchild of both pairs of grandparents, too. So it was a big arrival, and I was born in communist Germany. And in the first few years of my life, we were living in a small village. We had our own house. I had my own room, so my mom was at home, so life couldn't have been much better. And the communist regime in those days started to put the thumb screws on stronger and stronger to the people. So they didn't want entrepreneurship. They didn't want anybody to be different than the masses. That's what communism is, really. And so my father started to become very dissatisfied with the way his life was going because he said he has no opportunity there to ever fulfill his dreams of being a successful entrepreneur, doing his own thing. So when I was 8, my parents decided that they will flee from East Germany to the West. And they did. It was pretty dangerous, but for me as a child, as I didn't understand what was going on, and of course they didn't tell me because they didn't want me to tell my little friends and, you know, have the whole village know. Life changed from one minute to the next for me. It was like from perfect childhood, very idyllic, to arrive the next day in a big city in West Germany with no housing, no friends, no family, and my parents working day and night. So that was very, very drastic. And we lived in this small attic room without bathroom or anything because, as I said, there was no housing at the time, and we had no money. So we had to take whatever we could. And I didn't understand nothing. I mean, when you're 8, you know, you don't understand why parents do like that, do stuff like that.
Right.
It's like when parents get divorced, you also don't understand why that's happening. And it really drastically changed my life. And I decided in those days that never again will I let circumstances or other people take charge of my life. It is my life and, you know, I am the master. Not a really conscious decision in those days, but it did become a conscious decision as I started to grow up.
Well, that's a huge decision for us all to make, is that we are the master of our lives. And a lot of times we kind of run from that.
We do, and we do give, I'm just rewriting As a Man Thinketh, you know, into more modern language, because it's such a good book, and it's helped me so much, you know, As a Man Thinketh by James Allen. And I'm just rewriting it because I want to publish it with some other stuff that I've written. And it's so interesting to really get back into that topic again and just think about it. And he says exactly that. You start to be a strong, fulfilled human being as soon as you stop whining and putting the blame on everything that is outside of you, because we have the answers within us. And when we have the right thoughts, we take the right actions, and we get the right results.
Well, James Allen has obviously been an inspiration for many for, 100 years or better. And a lot of excellent information in that book, As a Man Thinketh. It's available free on the Internet if anybody wants to do a search. Barbara, let me ask you a quick question. Can I have you turn the sound down on your end just a little bit?
I'm on the landline phone, so...
Oh, you're on the landline. You are. Okay, that must be where the echo... We're talking international, so... Folks, I apologize for the echo, but there's not much we can do about it on this end, so let's work with it.
Well, I hear your voice... I hear your voice very loud.
Oh, good. That's all that counts, right? Okay,
but,
so...
I mean, I'm on a regular landline phone, so I can't...
That's right. I forget. I was thinking you were on a computer, and I just... did a blonde moment here. All right, so you came a long ways, and tell us how you got into the motivational aspect of things, then speaking, the writing.
Well, it was actually because I was abused as a child, and I was raped also at age 16, and I tried to sweep that under the carpet and put it aside and not think about it and hoped it would go away. But the result of that was that I had very, very low self-esteem and self-respect and let people trample all over me. So over the years, I built this massive wall around me for protection, and so that nobody could get near me, really. And in 1978, a friend gave me a book, this book that you mentioned earlier by Dr. Wayne Dyer. And at first, I felt insulted, you know. I thought, well, why is she giving me a self-help book? I don't need a self-help book. You know, I'm fine. I'm okay. But I wasn't. And that's something else that I noticed that many people can relate to, because we want to be okay. So we say, yeah, you're okay. You know, nothing wrong with you and nothing wrong with your circumstances and everything is good. Even so, we know that, you know, our life is not working properly. And this book, at first I put it on the shelf, I didn't touch it for about 2 months. And then one day I had nothing else to read and I started reading it. And I had a big revelation, and that was that I'm not alone with these struggles. That it's not unique to me, and I shouldn't be, you know, there's no reason to be ashamed of it. That there are millions of people out there, because otherwise this could not have become a bestseller. You know, he didn't write it for me. He voted for the general public. So that was a big revelation. And this is what really started me on this journey of personal discovery and personal healing first. And then, of course, on also sharing what I've learned and teaching other people.
And this was back in 1978. So when did you start actually acting on this new knowledge in terms of speaking or writing?
Oh, actually, I started teaching in 1994, I think. Yeah, 1994 was my first seminar. Because
go ahead.
There are people, you know, friends around me kept asking me things. And then a friend that was working in network marketing, she said, you know, you love all this stuff and you have so much knowledge. Why don't you come and give a presentation, you know, do... the promotion at the end of the seminar, an hour or so, and talk about setting goals and achieving goals and that kind of thing. And I did that, and I, you know, the first time, I mean, I practiced, of course, like crazy, you know, for weeks before. But I was really nervous because it was the first time I gave a presentation on that kind of information. And I got a standing ovation, and it was like, wow, this is good, you know, because I got such amazing feedback from the people. They said that they've heard so many motivational speakers, but that, you know, I was different because, I don't know why, but I think because I was honest. And it was very sincere, and I really, really, really wanted them to get the result. And that is still probably what makes me, what makes me liked with my clients, is that I'm very straight. And, you know, I tell them as I see it and as I've experienced it in my life, and show them the tools, the real tools that will help them, they're easy to use, that will help them get them out of whatever situation they're in. Because,
that's good.
You know, we do have a choice in life, don't we?
Yes, and let's get into that. You you published your book. How long is it? How long ago did you publish your recent book, your To Be or Not to Be?
The To Be or Not to Be came out in April of this year.
So it's been out a few months, and it's doing real well. And let's talk about that, because I have a copy of it here that you sent me, and I've got to tell you that the feel of it reminds me of such books as Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, and it reminds me of the Successful Achievement series by Dr. Sidney Bremer, and it reminds me really of Dale Carnegie's works too. I mean, it's just got that positive force or driving force to it. And the thing that I really like about it is that you've sprinkled a bunch of great quotes throughout, relevant quotes throughout by other people. And that's just an excellent thing. So let's talk about the book. And let's just go through it. You talk about the wake-up call. What's that about?
Mm-hmm. Well, the wake-up call are those moments when we contemplate our life, when we reflect on our life. And normally wake-up calls are bad moments in life, you know, moments when we wake up out of a stupor or trance that we were in. And normally there are moments like bankruptcy, you know, dramatic moments, a death of a loved one, a serious illness, a divorce. In my case, it was my midlife crisis. That was really profound. And, you know, but for everyone, it is different moments in life. When we are stopping short because something is happening that we didn't expect, that we didn't like or we don't like, and we stop and we reflect on our life and we think, what have I done with it? What do I have to show for, you know, my life until today? And with some people that happens at a young age, other people it happens, like in my case, midlife crisis. Didn't happen until then that I seriously, you know, turned my life around and really changed. And wake-up calls are important because we tend to drift. Human beings tend to drift through life. Jim Rohn said it always really nice. He said it amazes him that people plan their next vacation better than they plan their life.
That's so true.
Yeah, and it is true, yeah. We just sort of, we go into it when we are children or young teenagers. We have big plans for our life. But then somehow life seems to get in the way and we end up having more obligations than dreams. And this is what... And this is what I want to help people get back, you know, that they get their dreams back and the courage to make them happen. Because that's another thing, you know. What I noticed, first of all, is that the majority of people don't know where they want to go with their life. They have never made a plan. They do not know what their purpose is. They have not really seriously looked at their passions and skills and abilities that could really make them successful, that could really make them feel fulfilled and happy and looking forward to that Monday morning when they can work. And majority of, and so many people are, you know, dreading the Monday morning because they've got to go back to work. What a drag. But, you know, what a drag if you need to spend all week just so that you can have a couple of days off at the weekend.
I mean, that's not a good thing, is it?
it's not really. And unfortunately, many, many people think that this is life. And it is not. Of course, we need to work to make some money and you know, so we can pay for our life. But it's not about doing a miserable job that we hate for 40 years. It is about us deciding. It's our choice, right, in which job we work. And, of course, if you are passionate about what you're doing, like you, I'm sure you can hear from my voice that I am passionate about what I'm doing. So it doesn't matter that it's Sunday afternoon here, or it doesn't matter that sometimes I do radio shows at 3 or 4 in the night. Makes no difference to me.
That's just crazy.
Not really, because I just love to share the ideas and I love to share the message. So hopefully somebody is listening that will get the message and do something with it, because that's the main thing, you know. Knowledge that is not implied and not acted upon, of course, it's not very good.
Well, I think you touched upon a great point here in that I mean, Zig Ziglar talks about wandering generalities instead of meaningful specifics. And I've long noticed that so many, in fact, too many people, most people are so caught up in eking out an existence that they have forgotten how to really live their lives. And that's essentially what you're talking about, rekindling that passion or reclaiming that passion, that power for your life.
Exactly. It's it is very unfortunate. And as we get more and more busy, you know, now with electronic communication, as good as it is, but I've just come back from a mastermind cruise last week, and my laptop crashed before I went, so I couldn't take a computer. It was fantastic, you know. For a whole week, I was without a computer, without any electronic communication, and it was...
Did you have withdrawal?
Huh? I didn't.
Did you have withdrawal?
I didn't. I had my first real vacation in years. I went to I was on a cruise ship, so I went to a sauna, I went to the presentations, of course I went to shore, saw whales, we went to Alaska. It was really fantastic. It was beautiful. And you need to take time off. Everybody needs to take time out of their busy life and stay away from all those thousands of emails that we're getting these days, and from all the, you know, Facebook and Twitter and what have you. Stay away from that for a little while. And if it is only 10, 15 minutes a day, and just either meditate, do yoga, do breathing exercise, knit or do something with your hands, you know, needlework or whatever it is that you enjoy doing that calms you down, that makes you feel centered, and that makes you start to listen to your own thoughts again, because we have the answers within us. That's the crazy thing. We have all the answers to live a perfect life. We just have unlearned how to listen to them. And the answers are so easy that in the beginning when I did that, you know, just sat down for a few minutes and asked, when I had questions that I had no answer for, and asked my subconscious those questions, it gives you an answer when you learn how to listen. And the answers are always so simple that we think, it can't be that easy. But it is. And you know, that's something that I'm also trying to get people to restart again, to really listen to their subconscious mind, because that's between 96 and 98% of our thoughts are subconscious. So, it's absolutely immeasurable to even imagine how much knowledge we have inside of us.
Okay. That was. Let me make sure, Barbara, that we didn't lose everybody. Let me find out in the chat room. If you're listening to us in the chat room, would you let me know if we dropped out at all? My connection had dropped out, and I came back, and you were still talking, and that's a good thing.
Oh. Yeah, I left a pause, and I was wondering why you didn't say anything, so I just continued.
Oh, good for you. Well, it looks like it kind of went through. But and I apologize, I didn't get what you said, but let's get on to another part of your book that really relates to this, and it's the next chapter in your book, which is the Yabut.
Yeah, the Yabut, yeah.
I mean, we, We talked about our dreams, right? I mean, we're talking about coming back to our passion, reclaiming that. But then there's that self-talk inside, right? So,
oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
That self-talk inside, and this is why I called it Yebat. I've heard that from someone else before. They called it Yebat, and I thought this is really good. It's when we say, yeah, but you are too old. Yeah, but you don't know enough. Yeah, but who do you think you are? You know, what makes you think that you could talk about this? You know, there are other people that have more knowledge than you, and there always will be other people that have more knowledge than us, so we might as well do it anyway. But it's this inner voice, our self-concept, like I said earlier, my self-concept in earlier years was very bad. And when our self-concept is bad, then whenever we try to do something different than what we are used to, and we try to take maybe a larger step into our future, or we might want to step out of whatever situation we are in and try it in different ways, because we can't get a different result using the same techniques over and over again, or the same thoughts over and over again. So we need to change that somehow. But of course, change is scary. We need to get out of our comfort zone. And as soon as we try to get out of our comfort zone, our inner, in German we say Schweinehund, but it's just a funny word. But our inner talk will try to stop us. And that's protective, really. It's meant in a protective way. The same that our families, our best friends will very often try to stop us when we want to go into a new venture or move to another country or whatever, something out of the ordinary that they're used to from us. They will try and stop us. And that is not because they don't wish us the best. They have the best intentions, but they love us the way we are today, the way they know us. And if we change, if we turn around and take a different direction in our life, then they are afraid because they don't know, you know, it's not their idea, so they will not want to follow us in most cases, and they don't understand why we want to do that or why in some cases we need to do that, and they will try and stop us. And
don't you think that that's also in part due to their own insecurities projecting them on us?
Of course it is. It has
I mean,
to
they're
do
afraid,
with
so they... They're afraid for us.
They're afraid for us, and they're afraid also of losing us, maybe. So they will try. I talk about it in the book. I told it. I call it, I think, the crab. The crab, you know, crabs from the sea. I call it the crab basket of humanity, because there's always one or two crabs that they try to get out of the basket when you have them, you know, a lot of them in the basket. And the others that are still in there, they will always try to hold them back. They will always try to get them to fall down again. And that is exactly what happens to us. We are being stopped by our own inner voice, and we are being stopped very often by our immediate environment. And the environment, I think, is not that difficult to change, really. Even so, some people say, but I can't do that, you know, if my family are against it. Yeah, but it's your life, you know, not theirs. And it is you that decides about your life. You must decide, because otherwise you are living the life of society or of your family, of your spouse, and you might wake up at 40, 50, 60, 70 and say, oops, what happened to my life?
Yes.
You know, and you don't want that to happen.
No. And so as far as the yeah buts and those things that hold us back, there's something that you talk about in your book that will set us free or make us free, and that's acceptance. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, when we accept, I mean, first of all, in the book, in every chapter, you have techniques, you have questions. I ask you to ask yourself, because as I said, you have all the answers, and you have techniques how you get the right answers, how you get results for yourself, so that change is not difficult. You just got to do it. It's not a reading book. It's definitely a workbook. And acceptance makes you free, because when you accept that you are in charge of your life, when you accept, and of course it takes some doing to get there, that you really accept that. And I show you how you can do that. So it's not difficult, just takes a little bit of time and effort. And when you accept that you are the only person that is responsible for your life, and that it is now time to stop blaming circumstances, blaming education, blaming our parents, we're really good at that one, blaming our governments, blaming society as a whole, and our health system, and what have you, our children. When we stop doing all that and actually just touch ourselves, and I touch myself while I'm talking to you, I put my hand on my heart, and I really mean it, that when we touch ourselves and say, I am the master of my life, I am the only person that is responsible for making this a good life or a bad one. And then we can, first of all, we have power in that moment.
Mm-hmm. It's taking responsibility for our lives, and I have long talked that the key, one of the primary keys to reclaiming our lives is to take our power back. Take responsibility, take our power back, set new boundaries for ourselves, even not only with regard to what we will allow from others, but also what we expect of ourselves. So you're right on track there, and we're talking about accepting yourself for who you are, right?
Yes, exactly. Because you can only work with something that you know, with something that is within your power. So that's only what is you. You don't have power over other people. Yes, you can influence them, and some evil people, can even manipulate them. But in general, you have the power only over your own life. And by making that happy and fulfilled, you will be able to touch other people's lives in a much more powerful way, because you will enlighten them, you will make them happy too, you will help them see the light, you will help them see the path. And this is why all this work turns me on so much, because, I've had one occasion when I was in Malaysia speaking to a group of business people, and I had these two guys in the first row that were crying, because I took them through a visualization process where they actually go into their future, into their brilliant future. And as I saw this businessman cry there, I was so touched, because I knew that I've touched their core beings, that they finally let go of the struggles and could see themselves, could fly there and imagine what it will be like if they really go out full blast and do what they really want to do.
One of the things that you talked about that holds us back and is absolutely true is our fears.
Mm.
Can you talk a little bit about that? Fears, worry?
Yeah.
Like
Okay, fears. We all have fears. We are born with fears. We're born with only two fears. And unfortunately, as we grow and get older, we have more and more and more fears. For instance, now I have a new fear. I have the fear of these injections at the dentist. I hate it. I've never liked it. But now I'm pretty afraid of it, which is crazy. But there you go. And we get more and more fears. But we think, for instance, when we go into a new venture, let's say business venture, or relationship, we have the fear of failure. But it's not true. We don't only have the fear of failure. More people have a fear of success than they have a fear of failure, which sounds crazy, but that's the way it is. And it has been.
How would you define that?
Well, when you see the opportunity, when you have a clear intention of what you want. That's number one. You need to know what you want before you can get it. So when you have a clear intention of what you want and you're struggling to get there because you don't have the momentum yet and you don't have the right tools yet and so on, and then somebody gives you a helping hand, and that happens to every one of us that has clear intentions and takes the first action steps, and someone offers you help, and it is the help that you really need, and you can see the light at the end of the tunnel all of a sudden. You can see that you can really make it happen. And then this fear grips you because it's like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, I'm not ready, I'm not ready. I don't know enough. What if they find out that I am not really that good? And, you know, all this stuff that comes up in our internal dialogue. And that is one of the fears that I've personally had, and also that I go through with a lot of my coaching clients. As soon as they sort of go over the first humps and they actually see that they are getting there, you know, I mean, they see, wow, I'm picking up momentum. I'm getting closer. Now I can really imagine that it's going to happen. And then the fear sets in very frequently. And it's just also another fear of the unknown, you know, because we don't know what will happen. And, you know, a lot of us have been taught in you know, very disempowering things. Oh, my God. 1 second, somebody is on my Skype, and it's always the same crazy guy. He does it. It's like he listens to my shows, and he calls me every time he listens to my shows. And anyway, where was I? In the fear.
Right.
Yeah. And another thing about fear, part of fear is worry. I call it worry is fear in action, because worry is also a real physical thing. And I have a really good example that I hope will put the lights on in some people's head. When I was 19, I lived in England. And when I came home for the first time to spend a holiday with my parents, now that I was living abroad, I was of age, my father gave me the car keys because I wanted to go out, and he said, you got to be back by 4:30 because I need the car to go to work. And so I came home at 4:30, and I learned two lessons on that morning, because one lesson was that my father was really cheerful sitting at the breakfast table at 4:30 in the morning when I came from the discotheque. And I thought that was really weird. You know, why would anybody be happy at 4:30 in the morning when they have a 16-hour workday in front of them? And so I asked him, and he said, he looked up and he said, Barbara, you don't understand. I love my work. My work is my hobby. I am looking forward to everything that is coming today. And I was like, wow. I never thought about it like that. You know, work was work. It was, yeah, I had to do it. It was a necessity, but I never enjoyed it.
Well, and that's what you were really talking about in the beginning of the show, was living your passion, living your dream.
Exactly. It totally changes. It totally changes the way you think about working. And the second thing that I learned in that morning was my mom, she was going crazy. You know, she said, well, where are you coming from now? So late in the morning, I couldn't sleep all night. And she was really worked up like moms are, you know, sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, Mom, what do you do when I'm in England? Do you sleep? Of course I sleep. I said, well, what's the difference whether I'm in England and you don't know what I'm doing, or whether I'm, you know, with some friends around the corner and you don't know what I'm doing? I mean, what is the difference? But she had that worry because I was in her circle of influence in that moment, but I was not in her control. And we worry about stuff that is not even likely to happen, right? We worry about things that are, you know, I don't know, we have maybe a 10% chance that they will ever come true. So why not think about the other side? Why not think about the best that can happen in such a situation? This is how I deal with fear, for instance. I always look at the worst-case scenario, the worst that can happen. And when the worst happens, I mean, if the worst should happen, will I survive it? And normally I do. So I know, okay, even if that should happen, I will still be okay. Are you there, Doug? Well, I will just keep talking. Hopefully our listeners are still there, and it's just Doug that fell out of the line. And on the other hand, I look into the best-case scenario. what is the best that can happen in this case? And I ask you people, what would you prefer, the best to happen or the worst to happen? So I prefer to go for the best. Because the likelihood when I focus on the best outcome, that best outcome is happening, is much, much higher than when I focus on the worst outcome that can happen. And this is what worry does to you. Are you back, Doug?
I am back. Thank you so much for carrying it. The Skype gods are not smiling on me today. It just keeps dropping me out. This is kind of rare, but it's doing it. So you keep doing what you're doing. You're doing great, and you're obviously a radio show host yourself, so you get it. So where are we at?
We were just talking about worries and fears, and I said I tackle my fears always by looking at the worst-case scenario, what's the worst that can happen if everything goes wrong, which is highly unlikely to happen, right? Will I survive it? And the answer until now has always been yes. And then I can let that be and look at the best case scenario. What is the best that can happen to you if everything works according to plan and better? What could happen? And that, of course, inspires me. And as that inspires me, I take the steps. And I can take bigger steps than if I would be fearful and afraid and, oh, my God, should I really do it? And, you know, this type of feeling. Because that does not serve us at all. And this little technique works like a charm for me and for my clients. Because there is a 50-50 chance that the worst will happen or that the best will happen. In most cases, the medium will happen, you know, neither worst nor
right,
best.
Right.
So,
let me just add a couple of things in. Got it up here while I'm actually on the air. Damien in Ireland wanted me to tell you thank you for the show, and he appreciates what you're saying.
Thank you, Damien.
There's also a question, let me get to it, that came on a little bit earlier. Maybe I can interject this in. And before I ask the question, let me just tell everybody that you can visit Barbara's website at barbarahoffmeister.com. I'm going to put that in the chat room, but for our archive listeners, barbarahoffmeister.com, that's HOFMEISTER.com, and of course you can get the link on mchschurch.org as well. So the question from Dream Master is this: it's interesting how we troubled times to get where we find ourselves today. And I think I misread that, but it intrigued me. What can we do to get through troubled times?
Oh, yeah, that's a very good question. Thank you. What can we do to get through troubled times? We can start to focus on what we want. We can start to focus on the solutions that we want in our life and not on the problem, because this is what I find that almost everybody does, and I have to include myself in that when I'm in really bad situations like I have been last year. Then also I automatically tended for a little while to focus on the problems, because they're there, they're present, they are oppressing, they are strong. And, of course, they let the fears come up and the insecurities come up and our little voice is going crazy in our heads. And as long as you focus on the problem, for instance, when people don't know how to pay their rent or how to pay their mortgage and how to make their car payment and so on and so on, and they turn that around in their head again and again and again, oh, my God, and what's going to happen? They're going to evict me. They're going to do this and that and that and that. And we are driving ourselves into a frenzy, into a negative frenzy, into real fear. And it is very likely that we attract more of this problem, because this is where we focus. And I'm sure that everyone heard the saying, what we focus on expands. And as we are focusing on these things that we don't want, this is what we will get more of. As soon as you turn that around and you focus on what you do want and you focus on the good, I mean, first of all, adopt an attitude of gratitude. That is essential to live a happy life. Absolutely essential. To appreciate... Yes, I'm sure that you agree with that, Doug.
Yes.
It's the absolute basics to leading a happy life. You know, be grateful for what is. And that can be small... Yes.
No, I just wanted to reiterate what you're saying. You're spot on, and it's interesting that you bring that up because many years ago I had kind of arrived at that philosophy on my own that I wasn't getting where I wanted to be because I was focusing on what I didn't have.
Yeah.
And that is a very, very powerful concept that we really need to wrap our brains around. We've got to focus on what we want. We don't want to give any energy to that which we don't want, because if we do, our unconscious mind says, oh, okay, that's the focus. Let's get that instead of what you actually want to happen. So I just wanted to underscore what you just said and emphasize it. Good point.
Yeah, it's really, really important. I mean, because... every thought that we have is energy. And if we focus our energy in one direction, in the direction of the problems, this is what will create more of the same. And as soon as we turn our thoughts around and we really focus on what good there already is, so the attitude of gratitude is essential. All my coaching clients, my mastermind members, even so they have, you know, their own agendas and they don't have to follow my ideas, but I recommend they do. I ask them every night before you go to sleep, make a gratitude journal, a little book, and every night before you go to bed, write down a minimum of 3 things you're grateful for in that day. It can be little things like the sunshine, the laughter of a smile, the laughter of a child, a bird song, a rose blossom, whatever, you know, it makes no difference. Even if it's just that you are alive and kicking, you know, that's good enough. That's something to be grateful for. So write that in your gratitude journal. And that lets you go to sleep on positive thoughts, not on fearful thoughts, not on worries. And you will process all the things that you need to process throughout the night in a much better way when you go to sleep on a positive note. And when you wake up in the morning, in most cases, people repeat that process, and I recommend it, you know, just give thanks before you get out of bed. And the day will start in a different way. It will start with a different mindset. And if you do that, I promise you, if you do that for 3 weeks or something like that, you will notice massive changes in your personal feeling about your life. Massive. I mean, this is really big, and it's such a tiny little exercise. It just takes a minute a day. And so that is one of the things. Another thing is that people need to know what they want. That is number one. I studied successful people for I don't know how many years, but a long time, and I love reading biographies. And I found out that the 3 things they all have in common is they know what they want. They are crystal clear on where they're going. Can you imagine Thomas Edison when he tried to invent the light bulb and he failed 10,000 times?
Yeah, I mean, that's daunting.
Yeah, how many of us have failed even 100 times?
Mm-hmm.
You know, even 10 times. We give up long before we arrive there. But when we go back to when we were toddlers and we had to learn how to walk, we didn't give up. We fell, we got up, 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 until finally we were able to walk. Same with talking. We didn't give up. So I don't know why we give up when we're adults, but we give up halfway there. We give up quarterway there. We make one feeble attempt in something that we say we want, and if it's not working immediately, we say, oh, yeah, I knew it. I knew it. It couldn't work. It couldn't work. And please, people, I mean, but to do that, to have the determination to really do it, you need to really be clear on what it is you want. And the second is, of course, you need to believe that you can get it. And that has to do, again, with your self-concept, with your self-esteem, with your confidence in yourself. And that needs to be worked on. And we've got some techniques also in the book for that. And the third is that you need to take action. You know, I like the film The Secret. It's a really nice film, but they forgot to put the action steps in there. And I don't like that very much, because people are sitting at home saying, okay, I ask, okay, I want this and that. And they ask things like, I want more money. Great. They do that all the time when I do life trainings. First thing, I ask them, okay, does everybody know what they want? Yeah, okay. What do you want? I want more money. Fantastic. I give them a dollar or whatever currency they have in that country. And I say, okay, you can go home now because your wish was fulfilled, right? No, that's not what we were talking about. No. I mean, I want a lot more money. I said, you didn't ask for that. You asked for more money, and now you have more money. So we've got to be very clear what we are asking, because we will get it.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to believe Good. That we, yeah?
That's an excellent, point and a way to make a point, and you're absolutely right. So often we assume or expect the universe to just understand what we're saying, but we need to be very specific. Here's a question from the chat room back on what we were talking about on focusing on what we want, which is talking about what we're talking about now. The point being made and being asked here is that how can we focus on something we want if we have absolutely no control over it?
We do have control. We do have control, of course. We have control over our happiness. We have control over our health. And we also have control over our finances eventually. No, actually, from the very beginning. But, I mean, it's not worthwhile talking about when you have nothing. But we are in control. That is the whole point, that we need to start understanding and accepting that we are in control, that our thoughts create our realities. And unfortunately, you know, in our school system, in Germany as much as in the States, or, I mean, I don't know any country that actually teaches in another way, unfortunately, they teach us only academic things. They don't teach us about life. They don't teach us about the power of thought. They don't teach us that we are in control, because the system doesn't want us to feel that we are in control. They want us to feel that we need to go and get a job. We need to learn what they want us to know, and only what they want us to know, so that then we have that very limited knowledge so that we can fulfill a certain position in society. Right. Has nothing to do with our wants. Has nothing to do with our desires or our purpose. Are you still there, Doug?
I am still here, and you're right on target.
Yeah, so, you know, it might feel a little bit uncomfortable, and for people that are in a really bad situation right now, they might even not want to believe that. And I recommend...
You know, this really you go ahead, then I'll tell you what it reminds me of.
No, you tell me, and I can still recommend later.
No, you tell me. No, you tell me. It reminds me of Viktor Frankl in the concentration camp, in his book A Man's Search for Meaning, when he said the last of the great freedoms is one's ability to choose their own attitude in any given situation. So, you know, talking about what we don't have control over, and that's the interesting thing about the universe, is that when we put that intention out there, and this goes right hand in hand with The Secret, the Law of Attraction, intention, it's amazing how things can change, opportunities can manifest themselves, circumstances can change. I mean, speaking about that, you mentioned James Allen in As a Man Thinketh. Yeah, and he makes an outstanding point, which has probably changed my life about 10 years ago when I read it, was that he says when you learn the spiritual lesson in any given situation or circumstance, it passes and you move on to mm-hmm. other learning opportunities. So if we find ourselves in a bad situation and we feel like we can't control, we need to first learn the lesson, and that, of course, means changing our approach. So I just wanted to bring in Viktor Frankl into what you were talking about because he was an inspiring man.
Definitely, yes. And, I mean, this was extreme circumstances, right, I mean, that he was under.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yes.
they tortured him. He was under threat of death continuously. He saw the people around him getting killed. Those are extreme circumstances. And still he maintained sane because he was in control of his thoughts, of his mind. Amazing. Amazing lesson, really is. And, yeah, it seems so difficult when you are in a rut. It seems so difficult that you think, yeah, they can talk about it. They are not in this situation. Please, people, nobody's life is just, easygoing. We all have our struggles. We all have our issues. But the difference really is that we learn from our failures, and we must fail so that we can learn. So, don't try to avoid failing, because if you do that, you also avoid winning, because it goes hand in hand.
Yeah.
If we try to avoid failure all the time, we will always be maximum middle of the road.
Yes. If you are liking, this is to our audience, if you're liking what you're hearing, then I encourage you to visit Barbara's website, BarbaraHoffmeister.com, and pick up her book, To Be or Not to Be, The Choice is Yours. There's also a link on the radio page here for the book, too. I think you're going to enjoy it, and I think you're going to get a great positive lift out of it. Now, Barbara, we just have a few minutes remaining, and toward the end of your book, you talk about defining your purpose and bringing your dream to reality, and then you also talk about stopping the mind monkey. Can we just briefly talk about bringing your dream to reality and then this mind monkey? I know we've already been talking a little bit about the dream to reality thing, but let's
talked about stopping the mind monkey, because we talked about that at the very beginning when I said that we need to take time for ourselves, whether, 10, 15 minutes a day, whether it is meditation, whether it's yoga, breathing exercise, handiwork. Some people get this meditative feeling when they iron, for instance, or wash the dishes, or whatever it might be for you. But quiet time with no music, no television, no other people, just you and your thoughts, so that you can ask yourself the right questions and that you can really come down and stop this chatter that is constantly going on. Today we've got the plugs in our ears like 24 hours a day almost. It's too much. We need to calm down. We need to be with ourselves at times, on a fairly regular basis. And the more time you take for yourself with yourself, the more you will also be able to realize your dreams, and the more you will start to believe in your own abilities and in your own skills. When we talk about from dream to reality, in that last chapter, chapter number 5, I'm actually giving you the practical steps how you break a big dream, a big goal down into small achievable steps, so that for anybody, no matter where you are now, it is possible to reach. Because this is another thing that people look at their, they have a dream, an idea, and they want to make it happen overnight or within the next 3 months. Doesn't normally work like that. You need to plan. You need to break it down. People that climb Mount Everest, which is the highest mountain on the planet, they don't do that. They don't decide today and go to Kathmandu tomorrow and start climbing. No, they decide, okay, I want to do it. Then they start exercising. They start training so that they are fit when they get there. And they do that for a long time, several months at least. And then they plan 2 to 3 months to actually, when they are actually in Nepal, to go from the bottom to the top of that incredible mountain. But we expect things to go boom. When you are at the top, then it seems easy. When you're at the bottom, it seems impossible. And to change this impossible feeling, just break it down into small steps. As long as you know what the end result is that you want to achieve. That's really, anything can be achieved if you do it like that. It's very easy. And we need to finish off now, unfortunately, but get the book. It's not one of those books that leaves you tangling with the carrot in front of your face. Exactly the opposite. It has all the steps in there, practical advice, and if you use the book as a workbook, I can guarantee that your life will change for the better. I know because I see the results people are getting.
Well, and your methods are tried and proved and tested and have worked over the years, and that's why they're as valid today as they've ever been. So, you know, the whole message here is things are easy if you know how to do them. And
exactly.
We just have to gain the knowledge. We have to have the attitude of how hard can it be, rather than saying that's too hard. We ask, well, how hard can it be? You know, we can do anything if we just want to, if we just drive ourselves to, if we learn what we need to learn and so on and so forth. So, you know, a positive message. And we have just, I don't know, 4 minutes left or less. In a brief nutshell, what has this knowledge done for you? Where are you at and where are you going in your own life?
Well, I mean, first of all, the most important for me is that I'm doing what I love to do, what is my mission, my passion, my purpose on this planet. I'm sharing this incredible knowledge and bringing it to thousands of people. Where does God me? Well, I'm a best-selling author, which I think is quite a deed. I've just finished a book of quotes. As you said, I use quotes quite a lot in my book, and I have collected thousands of quotes, and I'm going to publish one book of quotes with over 1,000 quotes, because they are so powerful. They really help you, you know. Whenever you feel down, you can just open the book on any page and you will find exactly the right quote that you need in that moment. So altogether, by, I would think, in the next 2 months, I will have published 3 books, and and hopefully we'll get loads of speaking engagements, because that's the best for me. You know, when I'm in front of a live audience, I can really touch people and help them change there and then in that moment that we are together.
That's good. And, you know, I want to just one more plug. If you haven't checked Barbara's book out now or so far, or if you listen to the archive, go to Amazon.com. To Be or Not to Be, The Choice is Yours, Barbara Hofmeister. Check out her website, BarbaraHofmeister.com. She's got a great message. The book is positive. It's uplifting. It's encouraging. And I recommend that people pick it up and follow the advice. Just as a quick reminder for future shows, I am working on having some guests on this program. Probably going to shoot for the second Sunday of the month right now until we get a few more guests online. So I hope that you will join us in the future programs. Barbara, thanks so much for taking your time with us this morning.
Thanks for having had me, Doug.
Yes,
speak to you soon, and take good care, and God bless.
Take care of yourself. And as far as our listeners, we thank you for joining us this morning, or whatever time you're joining us on the Archive Live. We look forward to having you back in the chat room. Have a great week, and we look forward to seeing you again. Bye-bye.